We're in the book of Ephesians. Actually, I'm preaching just on chapter 1 of Ephesians. And this is the theme of the chapter. We studied this 2.5 or so months ago, where Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then what Paul begins to do is that he begins to tell us all these blessings. And it's a doxology of the blessings we have in the Father, the blessings we have in the Son, and the blessings we have in the Holy Spirit. And we are now in the passage where it's talking about the blessings we have in the person of Jesus Christ. Here it says, "In Him," in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood." It's not the Holy Spirit that gave us His blood. It's not the Father that gave us His blood. It was God the Son that gave us His blood. And it's talking about the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We looked at the first part a couple of weeks ago, how we have redemption through His blood, how that we have been purchased, that no matter what it cost, if it took God to send His Son, you know, I mentioned, was there even any blood left in the person of the body of Jesus Christ when He finally cried out, "It is finished," that He gave all that He could. And the only thing I said, I did say this a couple of weeks ago, the only thing I remember about redeeming something had to do with my mother with S&H Green stamps. I mean, I'm trying to be novel here because it's a very profound thing that we looked at a few weeks ago. Well, sure enough, you know, I got, and I know Pastor Mark got a number of cards from people. And here was a card that someone gave me on Friday night. I don't know who gave it to me. It says, "Pastor Sam, now you can save for your own trinkets." It doesn't say who it's from. And it is S&H Green stamps. Someone gave me my first S&H Green stamps. And I guess you can still get them. Because, and here is my book. When I show this to my mother, she'll flip out. You know? I said, "Mother, what do you want, a toaster? You want a..." So here is an S&H Green stamp. So here is somebody, I don't know who it is, but thank you very much. Someone said, "Now I can start to gather my own little trinkets with S&H Green stamps." So they still have it. And I actually found out what S&H stands for. If you want to find out, they're on the stamps. But they're too small for me to read. It's too dark. But anyway. It talks about also how we have given to us the forgiveness of our sins, that it's in the person of Jesus Christ that we are utterly forgiven, that salvation is not dependent upon what I have done, it's dependent on what He has done. And the whole purpose for preaching this chapter is because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. And when you hear people preaching about dreaming your dreams and getting your goals and thinking positive and all this guck that has nothing to do with the gospel, it's not about Him, it becomes about you. And 300 times the Apostle Paul talks about in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, by Christ, is what we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And so He's given to us all these blessings in the person of Jesus Christ. And then He says to us, it's been according to the riches of His grace. Not out of His riches, we looked at that last week. Not out of the riches, but according to the riches. That means that if Christ is an heir, we are a co-heir with Christ. If Christ is a son of God, we are a son of God. Because we are not just given a tip, like a 15% tip. We are given the grace of Jesus Christ given to us. Because grace is found in Jesus Christ. So it's not that we are just given out of the riches of what God has given to us, but according to His riches. And that's why we have all these blessings. And one of the things I want to do, Lord willing, when I get back in the months of December, January, February, we're not going to finish this chapter. We'll get back to it after the snowbirds leave. But I want to preach a series on what we have in the person of Jesus Christ. What I am. I am a son of God. I am a conqueror through Him. And what I am, all things have been given to me in Christ. The names that are given to us as a believer in Jesus Christ. So it says, according to the riches of His grace. And then He says to us, I skipped it. And then in the next verse, it says to us, according to the grace that He lavished on us. Let me just read it to you. This is what it says. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. Which He lavished on us. You know, it took me a long time to realize the enormity of these kind of phrases. You know, I used to tell you there was a time in my life that that God was very abstract and distant, and I thought that the love of God was this big pool, and once in a while God would take an eyedropper and fill it up, and if I was good enough and I prayed hard enough and I said the right words, that God would squeeze His little eyedropper and a big, oh, thank you for that little droplet, oh God, of Your love. That's a total erroneous concept. That's a total erroneous concept, because he says to us, which he lavished on us, which he lavished on us. Look what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And if you think that's houses and things and dreams, you're in great mistake. The abundant life is knowing Christ and forgiveness and fellowship with God and the work of the Holy Spirit and holiness and living for him and finding all my needs met in the person of Jesus Christ and every spiritual blessing given to me. He came to give it abundantly. This is not an eyedrop God. Abundantly that he's given to us. Look what he says. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say, from an innermost being will flow rivers. I mean, he could have said a little trickle. He said rivers of living water. Look at the words that are used here. This is not just a faucet. A river, a river, a river. And it's not because of you, it's because of him. Huh. It's because of him. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out. This is God taking buckets and pouring out his love upon us. You may not always feel his love. And if you don't always feel his love, it's because you think it's dependent on you. You get it? You may say, well, Pastor Sam, I don't feel forgiven. My friend, then you think it's up to you. And that's the error in the teaching today. They all think it's up to me. It's up to me. It's not up to you, because it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. I love the way the Puritans used to always say it, the uniqueness of his person and the perfection of his work. People would write volumes about that, the uniqueness of Christ, the perfection of the work of Christ. And this man, the Apostle Paul, was obsessed with the person of Jesus Christ. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. What did Jesus say here? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. You know what the King James says? In my Father's house are many mansions. Imagine thinking of that. Many dwelling places. What did these people live like in first century Israel? You had a room. Maybe you had two rooms. That's all you had. Who lived in mansions? Those who were wealthy, those who had riches, those who had the goods of life, those who had, and he says, in my spiritual home, in spiritual blessings, there are many rooms, many, many rooms. I can't imagine many rooms. Only Herod's palace has many rooms. Many dwelling places. Imagine this lavish that he's given to us. Lavished, lavished. He lavished us. He has bathed us in his grace. God has bathed us in his grace. How much forgiveness is there? He's lavished us with forgiveness. How much forgiveness and redemption is there in Christ? What price would it cost? Whatever it took to buy us and to pay for us, God was willing to do it. If the devil anteed it up here, he went higher. Higher, 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 higher. There is death in the world, there is life in Jesus Christ. There's sin in the world, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's the whole base of Romans chapter 5. You know, I love the hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. But listen to the writer of the words. There is a fountain filled with blood. A fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. That flood, overwhelm me, flood. He was exactly knowing these truths. Life abundantly, lavish us with his grace. The love of God poured out many mansions. So I quote the verse in Corinthians, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. You have no idea. You and I have no idea. No idea. It's indescribable. I don't think it's literally streets of gold. It's better than streets of gold. Because that's the most amazing thing we can imagine, is streets of gold. That's the most imaginable. Streets of gold. You go to some countries, their streets are dirt. But we're America. Our streets are asphalt. Oh, in heaven, their streets are gold. It's beyond gold. It's beyond gold. This is a God beyond. incomprehensible, undefiable. He named all the stars. He burst them out. That got gold, gold. Oh, I got better than gold. Wait till you see it. Wait till you see it. It is mind-boggling, right? Mind-boggling. So don't talk to me about money. When I'm lavish with every spiritual blessing, you're cheating people when you just talk about the blessings they can have now. Don't talk to me about dreaming my dream, being positive. I'm lavish with every spiritual blessing. You're cheating me. You're cheating me. You're taking away from all that I have in Jesus Christ to think about what I can have now and attain now and what I can dream now. Your dreams compared to every spiritual blessing in Christ lavished on us? Lavished on us? Talk to me about being lavished in the person of Christ. Talk to me about what I have been lavished with in the person of Christ. And that's exactly what Ephesians 1 is about. That's exactly why he uses those words, which he lavished upon us, which he lavished upon us. You know, it's interesting, after every one of these doxologies, after the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Paul always talks about grace. And this is what he talks about after he talks about the Father. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. And of course, the minute he mentions the Beloved, which is his Son, he then goes to the person of his Son, which is verse 7. But notice, this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. When we realize that in eternity, before time began, we were chosen in him. We've been predestined in him. We talked about those things, that we should be holy and blameless. All these things in the past. We're like this. Our mouths are dropped. Wow. 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 To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wow. But now that we're in Christ, now that it's the present tense, now that we're living the blessings that we have in knowing Christ, I sin in time and space. I need forgiveness in time and space. I need strength in time and space. I know where strength is found. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in time and space. You see, now that was all before coming of Christ. Now in the second blessing of the person of Christ, it's in time and space. But now in Christ, we have the giving of his blood, the work of the cross, etc. And so now we've been lavish. Now we become rich in Christ. Now we have forgiveness in Christ. Now we have redemption in Christ. And I love this passage in John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that interesting? When John writes about him, what did he come and appear to us? Full of grace and truth. John testified and said, crying out, "This is he of whom I spoke. He who comes after me is higher ranked than I, for existed before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace." In present tense, not to the praise of the glory of his grace, because we need now to be lavished in time and space. The Sloan family have a need to feel the grace in time and space in a hospital room. You have situations in your home, relationships, a marriage, whatever it may be, your child, your family, a relative, your job. You need wisdom. You need help in time and space. My friend, that grace which is the praise of God is the grace that is lavished to us in Jesus Christ now. 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 That's why Paul could say, lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us. Lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us. Let's read on. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. Five times grace is talking about with the coming of Jesus Christ. Think of it. You could have talked about salvation. You could have talked about power. But salvation and power is grace. Where is this grace lavished? In Jesus Christ, which he lavished upon us in Christ. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came to us, was realized, was reality, was shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, no matter how deep your sin is, no matter how great, there is a fountain filled with blood. There is the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all of our sins. We have been bought with a price, a great price. But whatever the price was, God says it was worth that price. He'd say, boy, if you knew Frank Thompson, Jesus, why are you going through all this for Frank Thompson? And if you knew Frank Thompson, you'd do the same thing. He's worth it. If just one sinner was brought to God, it was worth it, Jesus would say. One, it was worth it. Worth it. Worth it. Well, we know that grace is something that's given to us that we don't deserve. Mercy, it's what's not given to us. We deserve judgment, and God doesn't give us judgment, so He gives us mercy. But grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. What don't we deserve? We don't deserve forgiveness. The soul that sinneth must surely die. We don't deserve to be redeemed, to be bought. You have sold yourself to another? Go away. You have of your father the devil. Forgiveness brings forth judgment, the sins brings forth judgment, and yet from forgiveness you're freed from judgment, the consequence of sin, the outcome of sin. But then now there is more. Here is verse 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us, right? And now He goes into a whole other, you think you want to see what you've been lavished with? In all wisdom and insight. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In all wisdom and insight. Now let me just share with you, the purpose of verse 8 and 9 and 10 is obviously going to come to a climax when we get to it, which is in all wisdom and insight, the outcome of all things is the summing up of all things in Christ. That's what that whole two or three verses are going to say. The wisdom and insight is to realize that everything equals Jesus Christ. 1 + 1 equals Jesus Christ. 4 × 9 equals Jesus Christ. The world equals Jesus Christ. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is in heaven is Jesus Christ. Everything is summed up in Jesus Christ. The summing up of all things is in Christ. But I do want to talk about how God does even more for us in lavishing us with grace, in more than forgiveness and more than redemption, in giving us spiritual wisdom and spiritual insight. There's more to it here. Wisdom and insight. I call it spiritual wisdom and spiritual discernment. To know something and to know what to do. That's a real time and space issue. We have a brother here in need of a job. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I call? Lord, guide me. What do I say? What to give me insight and discernment in China? Who do I say? What do I say? What do I hear say? Shut up, Sam. Don't say anything. Just shut up. Don't say. Don't talk. That's in time and space. I'll need a little wisdom in time and space in China, and my wife as well. So let's talk about these two things, spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight, spiritual discernment, in all wisdom and in all an insight. You know, one of the things that I'm always fascinated with the Apostle Paul is that he talks a lot about the mind. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. There was a book written by Tim LaHaye, I think it was the best thing he wrote, called The Battle of the Mind, The Battle of the Mind. So much of people, so much of issues, you're bombarded in the mind gate. Just listen to all the verbiage in the world, the mind gate. And what does Paul say to us? I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't it interesting? Not this, but this. Transformed in the renewing of your mind. And when I'm talking about mind, I'm not just talking about mental exercise. I'm talking about spiritual wisdom, God's perspective. You have now have this perspective that was the world, and now you have God's perspective. On May 22nd, the morning after I committed my life to Christ, I couldn't wait to read the Bible and to read about Jesus Christ. I couldn't wait to pray to Jesus Christ. I went back to the Old Testament, and the whole thing was like a new book. It literally exploded. I had a felt pen and I was underlining every verse. Wow, what a thought. What a thought. Then next, wow, that's even better than the other one. What a thought. 90% of my little 34-cent New Testament is underlined. 90% of it is. Because every verse just exploded. I had to blink. Is this true? Is this? Wow, what a thought. What a perspective. The renewing of your mind so that you may prove, you may know the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. That you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is Ephesians 4:23. You may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, created in righteousness and holiness and the truth. Peter writes, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober and fix your hope completely on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare your mind for action. I like what the King James says. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. I don't know if maybe I memorized it here, but I love how it's gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind for action. Be ready to know what to say. Know the will of God. Know His perspective. Know His mind. Have the mind of Christ in you. Paul talked about this more than any other writer. Any other writer. When he talked about Christ, to know His mind. The mind of Christ. Here in 1 Corinthians 2, yet we do not speak among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Wisdom, not of this is not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they'd understood it, it would not have been crucified, the Lord of glory, but just as it's been written, things which I have not seen and ears heard, and he quotes the verse right there. But he talks about the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of these rulers and the wisdom of this world. He said, no, the wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom which God predestined. God's wisdom in a mystery which is now revealed to us. And then what does he say at the end of that thing? Eye has not seen nor ear has heard. Enter into the mind of what God has prepared for his children. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. They're spiritually discerning or appraised. A natural man can only hear these things and it's gobbledygook. That's why Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth. What are you talking about? How can a man go into his mother's womb a second time? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Oh, you mean there's a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth? Now you got it, Nicodemus. But you don't see it, don't you? You don't see it. And how do I tell you earthly things and you don't understand? How can I tell you heavenly things you won't understand? But look at these words that Paul says. The natural man does not accept these things. But in Christ, we have not the natural life. We have the spiritual life, spiritual wisdom, the mind of Christ. But he who is spiritually appraised all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, but that would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Right? No, look at that. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Why? Because it's not out of his riches. It is according to his riches. You get it? If it was out of his riches, God would say, okay, let's help them a little bit and give them a little bit help here. Throw them a 15-cent tip of wisdom. But it's not just that I am committed to Christ. It is the mind of Christ that's given to me. The perspective of Christ. The sonship of Christ, not that I'm the son of God. He's the son with a capital S. I'm the son with a little s. You know, Jesus is the one who said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, I am the light of the world. He is the big light. I'm the little light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You see, because it's not out of its riches, according to his riches, which he's given to us to have the mind of Christ. What a statement. Is this a lunatic? For you to say that you have the mind of Messiah? You have the mind of the second person of the Trinity? That's blasphemous. It's not blasphemous. It's his grace lavished on us. Amen? It's his grace lavished on us. Wow, you've given me this. I don't even deserve the forgiveness and the redemption, but you give me the mind of Christ? Spiritual wisdom? Spiritual wisdom? Titus 3, 5, and 6, he saved us not on the base of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly. Now, I know the word mine doesn't say there, but he's talking about the same idea. The washing of regeneration to be renewed in the mind in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly, richly. Why richly? Because Christ, who is rich, became poor that through his poverty I am rich. Don't talk to me about being positive. Don't talk to me about dreams. You're cheating me. You're cheating my Savior, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I got to tell you, well, I'll come to it later, just a minute. I'll come to it later. I know there's a part that's going to come to it in a moment. Look what it says here in Hebrews. First, the first covenant had been faultless. There would have been no occasion or thought for a second. In other words, if the Old Testament covenant with Moses and the works of the law would have been okay and it would have worked, then there would be no need for a new covenant. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God gave us the law to convict us, to make us rush for salvation and forgiveness. As Paul says, the law was the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. For finding fault with them, that's the old covenant, he said. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with those of the Israel after those days, says the Lord. This is a quote from Jeremiah 32. I will put my law into their minds. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write them on their heart. That's why he takes out a heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. That's the transformation of spiritual life. That's a renewal of the mind. That's having the mind of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. I will write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The same thing is talked about two chapters later, Hebrews 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law upon their hearts, and on their minds I will write them. So the mind is written on their hearts, and the law is put in their minds. And it's put in their hearts and written on their minds. Both things. The heart and the mind has it changed and written, and also, therefore, it is received in knowing the perspective of God. Remember what Paul said, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Grace, God's grace that he's been given to us with a new mind. Now, you know, I'm not going to read it all now, but you know, Ephesians 1, verse 3 to verse 14 is this doxology. That's what we're studying for the next months. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing, all the way to the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The minute Paul finishes this great doxology, look at the next verse. Verse 15. For this reason, for what reason? What I just said, these past nine verses, verse 3 to verse 14. For this reason, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which existed among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And the next thing you have is a prayer of the Apostle Paul. 21 times in the New Testament, Paul actually writes out a prayer. And one of the best books I ever read was A.W. Pink's book called The Prayers of the Apostle Paul. It's a book that takes all these prayers of what Paul prayed. He wrote down these prayers of what he prayed for different people, for Timothy, for a church, and realizing what he said when he got on his knees. So look, while making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is the prayer. Notice the prayer after this doxology. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So that's what he said. Oh, my God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers in the
church in Ephesus.
And I pray, oh God, that you would give to them the spirit of wisdom. Isn't that amazing that Paul's prayer is exactly what he extolled God about, what he gave to us? The same, the prayer is a pattern of the doxology. The prayer is the pattern. And you know what you can say with assurance? All the prayers of the Apostle Paul was in the will of God. The only time he prayed a prayer that he wasn't sure about the will of God was his thorn in the flesh. Remember? When God didn't say to him he would remove, he said, oh Lord, would you please take it? Would you please take it? Would you? Three times. He said, no, my grace is enough for you. I'd gladly be weak to show forth the power of Jesus. Boy, where's your positive thinking, Paul? Notice what he says. I'm going to read these next few verses through verse 20. The Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of... That's the mind. The mind. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's the new covenant. Jeremiah 32, Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10. So that you will know what is... That's the mind. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. What is the surpassing greatness? Oh my goodness. Greatness, glory, knowledge, wisdom. And I can tell you, when God heard Paul pray this, God was saying, amen, amen, amen. These are in accordance with the work of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The minute Paul finishes this great doxology, he gets on his knees and he prays it for the Ephesian church. He prays the same view and emphasis, the wisdom, spiritual insight, the heart, their eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that they would realize, they would see and have this perspective. Let me just see if this is, let me go back here. Well, what is having the wisdom of Christ? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? What it is, this wisdom, is to know the mind of Christ. Well, I want to look at a few passages. You know, of course, Jesus spoke about this. Nicodemus, he said, how can these things be, when he talks about the spiritual birth? Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Let me tell you something. What I'm telling you is reality. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The words that have been I say to you have been given to me of my Father. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven. Let me tell you something. I've seen these things. My friend, the world may gobbledygook about a hell, but Jesus talked about hell. And that settles the issue with me. You know, even this whole idea about creation. And now, because they don't want to mention God, of course. God forbid you mention God. And God forbid you mention Jesus Christ, in whom everything was made for him and through him and by him, right? Nothing came into being except it came into being through him and by him and for him and under him be all things. So now we have to call it intelligent design. You know what's the one verse that just levels all that? Jesus said this. Have you not heard? Have you not read how God in the beginning made them male and female? That's it, my friend. That's it. You know, it's interesting how simple what Jesus said just destroys the billion words that us idiotic sinners say. We have such verbiage. No wonder the book of Proverbs says, where there is many words, there is much sin. Read the Newsweek magazine. You'll find a lot of idiotic sin. Read the Arizona Republic. It's a lot of idiotic sin. Go to the Grand Canyon and see this thing has been here 950 billion years. That's idiotic sin. But Jesus, with one word, have you not heard from the beginning how God made them male? Don't mention Jesus Christ. Don't mention God. Intelligent design. My friend, because people don't want to hear about Christ. They want to hear about positive thinking. They want to hear about design. They don't want to realize that they're in need. The person of Christ is an offense. The person of Christ is an offense. And yet it's only in the person of Christ that there is salvation and hope. Because all things have been, all the wisdom of treasures and wisdom and knowledge have been put into the person of Christ. He that honors me, honors him who sent me. If you're not with me, you're against me. He said to them, you are from below, I'm from above. You're from below, I'm from, you are of this world, I'm not of this world. You better get my perspective. You better get my insight. You better see it from my perspective. That's why Paul said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seating at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Get God's perspective. Get God's view. Get God's wisdom to understand these things, to know these things, to understand these things. So why do we want to have the mind of Christ? Because it is the truth. It is the truth. And the truth will set you free. He that commits sin is a slave to sin, but if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Indeed. So then he says to us, he has lavished us in all wisdom and insight. You know what insight is? Wisdom is knowing something. Insight is knowing what to do. Very simple. Very simple. It's not complicated. You know something, and then you act upon what you know. He that hears my words and obeys them built his house upon the rock. He hears it. That's wisdom. He obeys it. That's insight. In fact, the word that's used sometimes is discernment, in all wisdom and discernment, to discern something this way or this way. The Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Why? It's the discernment of Christ's mind. This is the way, walk ye in it. To know and to know what to do. To know what to do. And you know, unfortunately, we Christians are known sometimes of being fat with wisdom and ignorant of response, right? You know what I'm saying? We know many things. We've been taught many things. We sit in the pew or we go to a study and we know what we know, what we know, what we know, what we know, what we know. But do we do what we do, what we do, what we do, what we should do, what we should do, what we should do? You know you'll be blessed if you go to Tanzania. Oh, but I can't go to Tanzania. Why not? Why not? Why not? Do you have the discernment to know that God, or you say, no. No, that's your mind. Be open to God's mind. That's why Paul says, what will you have me to do? That's discernment. That's openness. Lord, here, 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 here. And a lot of Christians are duped, and a lot of Christians are failing because of a lack of insight and discernment. They may know something, but they don't follow on it. The man who hears my words and does not do them built his house upon the sand. Of course, probably the greatest picture of this is Solomon. Solomon said, you have shown me great loving kindness to my servant or servant David, my father. According as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you, and you have reserved for him the great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on this throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I do not know this way or this way. Tanzania or not. China, not. Come, go. What do you, where, how, where, to who? What to say, not to say. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. You know why Solomon was called the wisest man who ever lived? Because it was not that he knew these things, but he had the insight to follow on what he knew. And we equate it with wisdom. Oh, Christians are wise. Christians are wise if they do. Christians are wise if they do. He that hears my commandments and obeys them, he it is that loves me. John 21, verse 14. 14, 21, and 23. He that hears my commandments and obeys them is the one who I will love. And my Father will come and make our home in them. But notice, to judge your people, to discern, to have insight between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Let's read on. It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, or dream dreams, or be positive. Nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself discernment, insight, to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, wisdom and insight. Wisdom. You know what's the great thing now? Now we know where we have wisdom and insight, in Christ. And it's lavished on us in Christ. It's lavished on us. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. So that there may be no one like you before you, nor shall be there one like arise after you. Solomon, the wisest man. And remember what Jesus said? A greater than Solomon is here. I have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily form. Wow. Wow. Which is lavished on us by his grace in Christ. Lavished on us. Given to us. According to the riches of his grace. Out of the riches of his grace? No. The mind of Christ is mine. The insight of Christ is mine. Two passages and then we'll be done. A few more. Here in Matthew 16, Jesus is talking about this. You know something, but you're still ignorant. You know it, but because you don't do it. Matthew 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to him, testing Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? He says, you know, it's almost like you've got the discernment for weather, but you don't have the discernment for the spiritual weather. You can tell about the red sky and you can tell the things, but you have missed the whole discernment of spiritual things because you don't see me. You don't accept me. You don't accept my words. And then a few verses later, notice this. Jesus finishes with the Sadducees, Pharisees, and he sits with his disciples and he says, who do men say that I am? Some say you're John. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And notice what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Spiritual insight. You didn't get this because you were smart. You got this because of spiritual insight, spiritual discernment, spiritual revelation, which has been given to you. And then lastly here, solid food is for the mature who becomes of practice, have their senses trained for discerning good and evil. You know, let me just close in saying this. How do you get wisdom? How do you know the mind of Christ? It's not complicated. It's right here. This is the mind of Christ. You know, people say, boy, I really wish I would have been there to live, hear Jesus. When you were there. You were there. You know, you were there. People say, oh, boy, I really wish I heard Beethoven play. I know how Beethoven played. I know exactly. I can look at a score and see what he marked down, and I know exactly how he played. I know exactly what it was like to hear Jesus. Here it is. In fact, some people heard the real voice of Jesus and were dead. And you and I hear the written word of Jesus and we're transformed. Which one you want? And you also know the mind of Christ in prayer. It is not complicated. It's not in a book. It's not in how to stop biting your fingernails. It's not in a book. It's humbling yourself at the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. It is the word of Christ, the throne of Christ, humbling yourself to Christ. He that humbles himself, I be exalted. And insight then is a result of that, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said he came to reveal the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. He came. The greatest thing you can have of Christ is not only to know the mind of Christ, is to do the things of Christ. The mind of Christ and do the things of Christ. Obeying Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. To obey, to put away temptation, to live, to serve, to sacrifice. As I said, it's worth living for Jesus Christ and giving to Jesus Christ. The greatest wisdom, the greatest insight. Now again, eventually, the whole passage is climaxed when he says to us, Paul says to us, and we're going to look at this in the weeks ahead, Lord willing, is that the summing up of all things is in Christ. The summing up of all things is in Christ. But my friend, right now, in your need, in your situation, you have been lavished with God's grace to know things and to distill those things. To distill those things. That's what wonderful thing it is to obey Jesus Christ. What a great comfort to obey him. To not only know him, obey him. The satisfaction of following him and to know how blessed you'll be. How blessed we'll be and what a blessing we'll be. Again, I want to emphasize after the service, you have a need. I say this only. You have a need. You want prayer. You need to know something. You need the mind of Christ. You need prayer physically. You need prayer spiritually. There will be people here. I'm not asking you to come forward now. There will be people who you can humbly just say, I need prayer. I want to pray. I have not known the mind of Christ. I have not obeyed and had insight in knowing Christ. But it's lavished on us. It's yours. He who did not withhold his son but gave him up for us all, how will he also not freely with him give us all things? All things. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What man is there if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children? How much your heavenly Father will give good gifts to his children who asked of him? Who asked? Ask. Ask. But knowing it's not up to you. It's because it's all what's in the person of Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, how could we ever imagine if we would have invented a Messiah, a Savior, he would never have been as great as your Son, Jesus Christ. And to know that you have given to us, lavished upon us, how many times we have sinned, how many times you have forgiven us, how many times we have been in need of your grace to us in redeeming us and purchasing us, and yet whatever the cost was, you paid that price. And so now, Lord, we come to you because more than that, you've given us the mind of Christ and the discernment of Christ. And I pray for each of us this morning, each of us this morning, the way we need your forgiveness each day, we need your mind each day. We need your wisdom each day. We need to know what to do each day. We need to know what not to do each day. We need to know what will please you each day. And Lord, it's not complicated. Give us that wisdom and insight because it's all in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's not our doing. It's not our attaining. It's not our works. But it is ours because of all things have been given to us according to the riches of your grace which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.